Joining me right now here on the Knock On Sports to talk top 25 of college football, it's my friend Joe Lisi from GoForTheTube.com. Joe, how you doing today, bud?
Doing well, Anthony. Week number 12 of the college football season. Doesn't get better than this, but it's bittersweet, as we say. We're coming down to the nitty-gritty, and it's the best time of the year and the most depressing at the same time.
You are absolutely right. I love Thanksgiving, but I also hate the fact that it means we only got a couple more weeks of college football. Joe, let's start with last weekend, seven matchups inside the top 25, and besides two games, five of them there were one-sided affairs. Were you shocked or surprised by that?
I guess I was shocked about the one-sided affair, especially with Auburn and Georgia, the SEC's oldest rivalry game. I thought that game would be a little more closer, even though I could see that Georgia was on upset alert. The way Auburn dominated on both sides of the ball, very impressed. And even though I picked Miami over Notre Dame, the way in which they did that, completely shutting down Brandon Wimbush and that offense, and the way Malik Rozier and the offense broke out for the Hurricanes, really was the most impressive games of the weekend. But this is what college football is all about. If you don't bring your A game each and every Saturday, any team could be knocked off, and that's why we love this great game.
No, absolutely, Joe. And, you know, you talked about Miami right there. A lot of people in Miami, I'm sure, think they're back. And I want to ask you that question. Do you feel like now with Mark Richt in his second year that Miami is back?
I feel like they are back because of the physicality that they're playing on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, entering that matchup against Notre Dame, they were only giving up around 197 passing yards through the air and did force nine interceptions. Heading into that ball game over the last three games, I mean, they enter this week plus 15 in turnover margin and have forced four straight games now with four turnovers from opposing offenses. The way they're playing on the defensive side of the ball really leads me to believe that Miami is, in fact, back now. Will they make the college football playoff? We have to see. I mean, they have a tough game this weekend against ACC opponent Virginia. They still play another ACC opponent in Pittsburgh and do have to play defending national champion Clemson in the ACC championship game. But that being said, I think Mark Richt has done a fantastic job, and I think the U is playing with swag, and they are in fact back, and that's great for college football.
No, absolutely. And Joe, another team like you talked about a little earlier with Auburn and Georgia, you and I really haven't been buying into Auburn here, but since what they did against Georgia, does that make you a buyer now on Auburn?
Well, I think the one thing that Auburn was able to do was put the game onto Jake Fromm's shoulders and see if he can lead that Georgia offense to a very difficult road victory. That's what we've seen other teams that have failed to do against the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, Georgia entering that ballgame was rushing the football for 279 yards on the ground. They were able to rush for over 200 in every game except the Notre Dame game heading into that ballgame against Auburn, where they rushed for 185 yards on the ground. I mean, this was a Georgia front seven that completely shut down Georgia. I think they held them to 60 rushing yards on the afternoon. I mean, that's a dynamic effort and really handcuffed Georgia's offense and put the pressure on Jake Fromm to throw over the top of their secondary. And the fact that they could not do it and made Georgia one-dimensional and put them into third down and long situations was the reason why Auburn dominated that matchup. Now, does Auburn have what it takes to knock off Alabama and, more importantly, knock off Georgia again, possibly in SEC championship game on a neutral field? We'll see. I still haven't been sold on Gus Malzahn's crew. They're playing better, but I'm still not sold on Jarrett Stidham in a big spot, even though he's played well this year. I look at those two games that Auburn lost to LSU and Clemson. I'm still not sold on Auburn being a legitimate contender for a national championship this year.
Joe, going to the other side of Alabama and seeing the Crimson Tide, they were pushed by Mississippi State. They were able to edge out a victory there. Do you feel like that was more of an aberration, or do you feel like this could be a continuing trend for the Crimson Tide where they're going to have to start playing these close games and we could possibly see them on upset?
Yeah, I think any team, any given Saturday, Anthony, is on upset alert, and you could throw Alabama into the mix. I think the one thing that Mississippi State was able to do in that matchup was they were able to score first on Alabama and put the pressure on their offense to match them score for score, and more importantly, we're able to dictate tempo. That's the one thing Alabama does as well as anybody in the country, if not the best in the country, is they're able to score first, which it allows their defense to take over games and dictate the tempo on both the offense and defensive lines. Well, if you jump up early and force Alabama to play catch up for the most part, that's where you can have success from an offensive perspective. And defensively, they forced Jalen Hurts to make plays in the pocket. Now, he was able to do that. He had the big completion to Calvin Ridley late in the fourth quarter, which allowed Alabama to get the go-ahead score in Starkville. But if defenses can do that and shut down the run, you can beat Alabama. Now, it's not an easy task. Auburn does match up well. It is the Iron Bowl, along with Georgia as well. We'll see how both of these teams play against the Alabama Crimson Tide should Alabama make it to the SEC championship game. But they are on upset alert each and every Saturday.
Joe, another team I want to talk to you about is the Ohio State Buckeyes. They manhandled Michigan State. But now with two losses, they're still close enough that they could possibly get in to the college football playoff. But for me, I feel like, one, they lost to Oklahoma. They lost to Iowa badly, and that's kind of where I draw my line in the sand with this team. I just don't think Ohio State should be in the conversation for the college football playoff. What about you?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think Ohio State should be mentioned. Now, the problem is that there's parity in college football, and outside maybe the top six or seven teams, you have to throw a team like Ohio State possibly being mentioned. But for me, I'm with you. The way they got blown out in Iowa City and the way Baker Mayfield was able to exploit that secondary in the horseshoe in week number two, for me, Ohio State should be on the outside looking in. I mean, in terms of quality victories this year, I don't see it. I mean, I know they dominated Michigan State. That was 7-2 entering that ballgame. But again, Michigan State, to me, is not an elite team. So where's the marquee win that you could say Ohio State has in their belt for the 2017 season? They've dominated teams like UNLV and Army, mediocre teams, Army Armed Force schools. So, I mean, at the end of the day, Anthony, it does come down to quality wins and losses. I look at Ohio State, yeah, in years past, they've had the resume. But in this year, I don't think they have the type of resume to warrant the top four ranking in the college football playoff.
My featured guest is Joe Lisi from GoForTheTube.com as we're talking college football. And Joe, some of the jobs that have come open is Florida and Tennessee. Some names have been linked to that one. But for you, what do you think about those jobs as those two come with two very, very heavy fan bases that want and need expectations met?
Yeah, it's shocking that both Florida and Tennessee do have coaching vacancies at the end of the 2017 season. I could have seen Butch Jones, but the fact that Jim McElwain is no longer the coach of Florida after winning back-to-back SEC East titles is really shocking when you think about it. But again, I think this is two programs that have storied histories, and whoever comes in there will have to bring a physicality back, not just from a defensive perspective, but on the offensive line, something that both teams lack. We'll see what the candidates are, but I think they both teams do need to hire a coach that can that brings a blue-collar work ethic and that carries down to the kids in the program.
Well, Joe, I know one name that's been really talked about with Tennessee especially is John Gruden, but I still don't think he leaves. But what about you? Do you think Tennessee would really interest him?
I think it could possibly, but at the end of the day, if you're a Tennessee fan, do you really want John Gruden? Is he the guy that you really think could bring back respectability to Tennessee? I mean, he's been out of coaching for a long period of time, never really coached at the collegiate level. You look at some of the former NFL coaches that have come back to college, Jim Harbaugh, but hasn't won a big game yet. You look at Lovie Smith in Illinois. I mean, Nick Saban did have success with Miami and did come back and brought a national championship to LSU and now with Alabama dominating the competition. But that really isn't the norm for NFL head coaches. They've struggled. Pete Carroll did it back in the day for USC. Is John Gruden the guy to bring back respectability to Tennessee? I'm not so sure. Again, I don't know. I think they need to go with a younger head coach that comes from the defensive side of the ball. I think a candidate that I would look at is a guy like Jeremy Pruitt, the defensive coordinator for Alabama. the coach that won a national championship with Florida State as the defensive coordinator. He turned around Georgia's defense a few years ago and is doing great work with Nick Saban in Alabama. Tennessee needs to be able to stuff the run. They're giving up 256 rushing yards to opposing offenses. I think they need a defensive-minded coach as opposed to an offensive-minded one.
Joe, another spot for Florida and a head coaching candidate that I've heard is Scott Frost, you know, just down the road at UCF. But for me, I'm hoping that Scott Frost stays at UCF. I think he's doing great things for Central Florida, and I think Florida needs to go somewhere else for that head coaching job.
Yeah, it is unfortunate because I think Scott Frost is one of the best coaches in college football in terms of young upstart head coaches. You could throw Scott Frost and Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell into the mix there. But I agree with you, but I have a feeling that Florida would be a great fit for what he's doing. I mean, he's brought great success for taking over with George O'Leary. I mean, this was a team that could not run the football 2 years ago. They were only averaging 81 rushing yards per game. He brought offensive balance back, and more importantly, brought a defensive physicality in terms of run support, Anthony. I think that's what would benefit Florida. He understands the landscape for recruiting the area. And he understands the type of talent that's needed to take Florida to an elite level. I don't want to see him go because I would love UCF to build the program around him. But I think Florida is a great fit for Scott Frost with their new head coach.
Joe, now let's talk about some of the games that are going on this weekend, this Saturday. First, I want to start with Michigan taking on Wisconsin. This is Wisconsin's last, I think, true test before they get to the Big Ten championship game. What do you see between these two teams?
Well, there's some offensive line concerns for Wisconsin heading into this ball game, and that's where I do have some concerns going up against, I think, a hot team in Michigan that's been able to run the football consistently. I mean, Michigan over the last 3 weeks now has been able to pound the rock. 3 weeks ago against Rutgers, they rushed for 334. 2 weeks ago against Minnesota, it was the 371. And last week against Maryland, they rushed for 160 yards on the ground and do have 11 touchdowns over the last 3 weeks. They're only giving up 110 rushing yards per game. I think they could force Alex Hornibrook into third down and long situations. I do not think this is going to be an easy game for Wisconsin. I think, unfortunately, Wisconsin goes down this week to Michigan. I think it's a very low-scoring game, 14-10. The Wolverines prevail in Camp Randall.
Ooh, that's going to be a tough one there, especially for Wisconsin fans, as they're right now sitting fifth just outside the college football playoff. Joe, another game, a battle in Southern California, USC taking on UCLA, a battle between two quarterback prospects that figure to go high in the draft between Rosen and Darnold if they both decide to go to the NFL draft. But what do you see between these two teams?
I think the better team is USC in terms of an offense and defensive line play. I mean, you look at UCLA overall, they're still allowing right around 300 rushing yards per game. I don't even think it's Sam Darnold that you have to worry about in this ballgame if you're UCLA. I think it is Ronald Jones and the rushing attack of USC. I think they're able to run the football. That'll open up play action for Sam Darnold to allow him to attack that UCLA secondary. And I think this is a dominating effort by the Trojans. I think they're playing much better in recent weeks. They're getting healthier. And I think they win this ballgame by 20 points or more this coming weekend.
My featured guest is Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com as we've been talking college football. Joe, if they want to follow your work, how can they do it?
They can follow me on Twitter at GoForTheTwo. That's the number two. They can go to my website, GoForTheTwo.com, where they can follow the radio and television show, Channel 262 on Dish Network, 9 to 12 Eastern, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific, College Football Today.
Joe, always a pleasure to talk college football with you, my friend. Looking forward to discussing more with you as the season continues.
Anytime, Anthony. Love the show.